Hi, welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music singers and songwriters, off stage and on the air. We'll have behind the music conversations on exploring their life, their songs, the creative process, and more. I'm your host, Kerry Banks, with producer Chuck Luck. Today, we'll be talking with singer-songwriter, music producer, and entrepreneur Chris Hudgens. Welcome to More Than a Song.
Hey, Kerry. Thank you so much for having me.
You were born and raised in Dumas, Texas. Tell us about growing up with a musical family.
They're singing all the time in restaurants. They're singing to each other and out loud all the time and embarrassing me and my sister. That's what it's like. So it's a little bit embarrassing, but pretty cool overall.
And you learned to sing harmony by singing with your parents.
Yeah, I sure did. I would play a game with my mom. She wouldn't know what was happening at the time until she was frustrated enough to notice. She would sing a harmony with my dad, and I would jump on her harmony until she would get off of it when she finally realized what was happening.
When did you start playing music, and what was your first instrument?
My first instrument was piano, and I started playing by ear until mom and dad made me take lessons, and that wasn't fun.
You played mandolin as well.
Played mandolin when I got into high school because there was nobody else in my worship team that was playing mandolin. It wasn't a said rule, but it was an unsaid rule that if you didn't own your instrument or already get apportioned to that instrument, then you couldn't really play. So I learned mandolin, a couple of chords, but then I also learned a little bit about all the other instruments, piano and the bass and drums, so I could fill in when someone was sick or off on a business trip.
Not only were you learning about the instruments, you were also learning about the sound production in the church.
I was the sound guy. Levels having to be fine and working on different frequencies, which I can't say that I'm amazing at right now still.
You were also a heck of a good football player there in Dumas. So good that you got a college scholarship.
Yeah, I played both ways in high school. And then when I decided on schools, I decided on Western Kentucky University.
And the reason you decided on that was because...
For love.
Your girlfriend was moving there, right?
Exactly. Her dad accepted a senior pastor position in Kentucky. I found a school that was close by, and that was WKU.
And they gave you a scholarship.
Sent them a couple of tapes, and they decided to find some money for me.
I love it that before you left Dumas, you asked your grandfather, your pawpaw, if you could have his bass guitar to take with you.
I had noticed for years that he had not touched that. When I went off to college, I was like, I'm going to need something to do. So I gathered my wits or whatever, gave him the awkward question, hey, Papa, can I have your bass and amp? And he said, I guess so, yeah.
So when you weren't playing football, you were practicing the bass.
Eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and practicing bass on an audio adrenaline track.
From that, you actually got a job playing bass in a band.
Turns out that the actual album that I was practicing actually on the bass, there was a song on that album that a band who needed a bass player, they were covering at that very moment. So my audition, just including that song, sort of blew the both of us away, and it, you know, we became friends. And
so you were playing football, you were playing in a band, you were also studying music at the same time. That got a little complicated, didn't it?
It did. I didn't get to be in my team photo as a freshman. It was already conflicting itself. So I had to be in my vocal jury at the moment. I foresaw that just getting worse, that element of it. So I decided to stop football and focus on music. So I went to Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee, which was a little bit closer to Hopkinsville, where I was going to church and dating my now wife.
Were you singing in the worship service there at all?
Yeah, sometimes I was leading, sometimes I was singing, but I was definitely like involved all the time.
You decided to hang up your cleats and pick up your guitar.
I don't know if anybody has had this experience. When you hang up your cleats, the dreams where you are still playing, I had those for years and years and years, maybe like 10 years after that. So it didn't just leave me.
Along about that same time, you were studying other instruments and you started writing songs.
I figured out that I didn't have an ear for tone at the moment, at least, and I didn't have like the money to be a gearhead. Writing a song is free. I could do that all day. And the first songs were real goofy songs to my girlfriend and goofy songs to Jesus.
That's pretty cool. What were you listening to during this period? What was informing you musically?
Jars of Clay, Audio Adrenaline, Take Six. It was all in that realm of cool Christian tinged, at least, music.
Your music really reflects your R&B interests and hip-hop. Who were you listening to back then on the secular side?
From high school, this is weird maybe, but I had drawn a line that I wasn't going to like get much into like mainstream music. And so even though my parents listened to it all the time, but the first experience of R&B was Kirk Franklin. In high school, I got a CD. That was my very first CD. And I wore that out, but I did not start putting that in my own music until maybe 10 years ago. I had to get over feeling like a fake for having R&B influenced music. I just felt like a fake for like having a run, like a vocal run that Michael Jackson would do or whatever. Not saying I could do his stuff, but maybe none of this like feeling like a fake makes sense, but...
Your music is very heavily oriented to vocals, really intricate harmonies, vocal flavorings. What influenced that?
Beach Boys, The Four Freshmen, The Eagles, ABBA, Color Me Bad, Boys to Men.
One of the favorite songs that you've written and recorded called You Don't Have to Worry. Tell us about that song and how that came about.
So it started with, I just wanted to do something different. The song is about, if you'll just stick with me, you don't have to worry. It's all done in the box, meaning there's no like real drums or bass. I sequenced all of the performances in the box and I did all of the voices.
Only you on that whole record. Let's hear a little bit of You Don't Have to Worry.
You don't have to worry, no, about a thing. Take a breath now, breathe again, and let me take you back to where we begin.
Before all the kids and cats and dogs.
Ain't saying that I don't like them. We were broke but full of hope. The both of us holier than all the popes.
Set out to prove my mama was wrong.
Something about being young, something about thinking like we were gonna make it no matter what. Well, it's been all these years and we're still here. Can't help but think that we were right. Come and sing it like
you don't have to worry about
them.
Bless me, now we got the best thing. Investing in a family when we were just kids yesterday. And I don't know a whole lot in this life, but every day I thank God that he made you my wife. Hey. Cause you're my glacier water on a hot day. I'm dreaming only about you and how we can get away. And I'm so thankful you know how to spot a fake. And you know how to tell the devil not today. So ever since I decided on you and you, me too, been getting high on that supply of the wife of my youth. You're so real, no tiptoeing around the truth. And you and me help each other stay connected to deep roots.
We don't stop,
no,
and we keep going.
Oh yeah, we gonna make it because of the team we own. The best of homies turning test to testimonies. 10 million minutes and growing.
You don't have to worry about a thing.
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Chris Hudgens on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Chris Hudgens. What brought you to Lubbock, Texas from back east in Tennessee?
We had moved back to Dumas because we missed Texas. my in-laws, we were just newly married. He had accepted some kind of assistant pastorship in Amarillo. Then he wanted to start a church in Lubbock. And we were like, we don't love Amarillo, so let's go to Lubbock. We love Lubbock. Yeah. We've been here since 2008.
You've also got to sing on the Grand Ole Opry stage with the phenomenal vocal group Take Six at the 2000 Dove Awards. What was that like?
It was amazing. First of all, we had had a master class that was done by Dr. Cedric Dent, one of the Take Six guys. So he had come, and then unbeknownst to most of us, because they just didn't get the word out, Take Six was arriving like in the next semester. They do a segment in one of their master classes where they pick someone to give a melody, some words, and they put together this harmony and they sing it. Dr. Cedric recognized me and we got to talking at the beginning and he's like, hey, do you want to do this segment with us? It was a super honor. I still remember the melody and the words.
That is awesome to be able to perform as a featured vocalist with Take Six.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So you've won these awards. You're back in Lubbock now. You get hired as a vocal and ensemble and songwriting teacher at South Plains College. How did that come about?
It was in 2011 when I came on staff with you and the awesome people at South Plains College. Someone had told, I think it was Scott Ferris, told me I needed to meet you and just glean from you.
And it just so happened that not long after that, a position for a vocal instructor came available. You applied, you auditioned for us, and you were the perfect fit for our vocal faculty in the Creative Arts Department and became one of the songwriting teachers there. Talk about working with students, mostly beginner songwriter, about how to put a song together.
I want the first one to be easy. That would be ideal. You want to start with the language or the version of musical language that they can speak. So if they are only a top-line writer, you don't want to just delve into teaching them chords or anything instrumental to begin with, writing lyrics and a melody. So what I figured out early on, and this is especially true in a classroom environment, everybody starts off in a different way. And a song can literally start off in any given different way. We get a lot of time to break off and do it our way, and I will float and help them go in their own direction. Everybody is doing something different, but we all need some success so that we have momentum.
How much of the technology of actually recording and producing songs do you get into in your songwriting class?
I've had the request lately of let's get into that more. We want to be like a fly on the wall while you make a demo. The last couple of semesters, I've done demos in front of them as we've discussed possibilities of getting their final songs in. Because in our songwriting class, there's a requirement at the very end of the semester to have two fully demoed songs. And that means not just a voice memo with a voice and guitar or a voice and piano. What it means is a fully orchestrated, whatever the song is calling for. If the song itself is calling for bass and drums and piano, put that in there. I'm not grading so much on the quality of the sound, and I'm not grading on whether they put money into it, but whether they did the thing or not.
Some of your songwriting students are starting to do real well in the music business. For instance, the duo Tex Westus.
I got to play bass with them for about a year and a half. They're awesome. They had just married, Chloe and Corbin. Corbin was actually in a worship ensemble of mine. It was Fest Week, and we finished our last song. And I had told him nearly every day that we got together, hey, don't play after that last one. He just had to do it because Dad was there. Oh, it was so funny.
And you've actually written some songs with them.
Yeah. I don't know if they've demoed anything out, but we've got one song together. Yeah.
You composed a song and recorded a song called Baby. Tell us a little bit about how that song came about.
I remember strumming some chords, doing a little bit of arpeggio with my fingers on some weird chords that I'd never played before while we were getting ready for a little house church thing. I started getting this vision of a person who had just arrived in heaven. He heard this like real intimate galactic kind of song that was just written for him. So that's what this song is sort of about.
Where did you record this song?
I recorded it in my living room on an SM58. lots and lots of takes. Even though I went to Amusement Park Studio, having met Scott Ferris, he loved the song and he said, let's re-record that, the main vocal. So we did that, but everything else is SM58. He helped me mix the song.
A real simple recording of a very complex, layered vocally song that won in 2010 the Best Love Song in the Independent Music Awards, which is a worldwide songwriting contest. Pretty phenomenal. How did you hear about the Independent Music Awards?
I don't recall. Every single time I've entered into a contest, I don't have a whole lot of hope for it. And so I don't do a whole lot of research into any given one of them.
People that have entered those song contests know it's a worldwide contest open to writers from across the globe. So they probably got thousands of entries on that one category, and you won first place.
You make me feel special, Carrie.
Let's hear a little bit of Baby.
Baby, look at the star I made for you today. It may be one of the brightest in our galaxies. Oh, isn't the light so new that you had to pull up your sleeves? Break into melody, 'cause a song's the only response that you need. So tell me about your day, baby. Say we'll leave out early in the morn. So much to see, it wouldn't hurt to make it 3 or 4. I wanted to take you out to explore all my favorite scenes. We'll break into melody, 'cause the song's the only response that you need. So tell me about your day.
Back to continue our conversation with Chris Hudgens on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Chris Hudgens. You wear many hats in the entertainment industry. You're a singer, songwriter, musician, educator, audio and video producer, and an entrepreneur. How does that all work together, especially from the production end?
I think it works best if you think about a project that needs to be done, then ask yourself what all needs to be done for it and how much money do I have.
Walk us through a project that involves you writing and producing a song and doing the video as well.
I got an idea that came to fruition, and that was I rented out amusement park studio. I got an engineer from them. Chris Reynolds helped us out that day. The idea was to do two things. I needed the rhythm section of a song in real life recorded on tape, but I also have a lot of songs that need video for the sake of promoting, whether it's songs that have been released or not. The rest of the day was spent just acting out a couple of songs, putting a visual to those. This project, I'm basically working on marketing and stuff. I'm working on the mouth of a funnel for myself. Maybe not understanding, but a theory at least, that there is at least one person in every town that's willing to do a deep dive into my stuff as an artist. Maybe be a super fan or something less than that. And I think that's true of every single artist, that you are going to appeal to a very specific kind of person. But up until now, it hasn't been like doable for a single person to find that one person per town. So the challenge can be overcome with an algorithm. And my demographic, it seems, are going to be mostly on Facebook, it seems. And then we'll go to IG or Instagram. And then it is a worldwide audience that I'm going for. I just want, at least right now, to be known by that one specific kind of person that's willing to click, listen, buy. That kind of person exists for every single musician, I think, out there.
That one person is out there and they're listening to the music and they like it. They're thinking, I would kind of like to do something like that. What advice would you give them?
Well, I could easily say, hey, come to South Plains College and we will teach everything we know. It'll be like a baptism by fire. And then you can go off and start doing stuff and start building your repertoire and making records and albums while you're there. That's an easy one. Otherwise, steps that you would take in order to be an artist and get your music out into the world, I would say do it. Do it and be uncomfortable doing it and get in front of people and be uncomfortable and be okay being uncomfortable and do it afraid, because you're going to love that you did eventually.
When you perform, it's mostly solo these days, just you and the guitar. Sometimes you sound like a whole band. How does that happen?
I use a looper. And I also use a harmonizer. And my looper is called a Headrush looper board. And it gives me four tracks that are connected in the time clock. But I can have one on and turn it off and turn the other one on, or have them all on and come in and out. So I can have drops. I can sort of think like a producer in the live setting. And with my harmonizer, that helps me. It reads the chords of the guitar. It also reads the single note frequency that's coming from my vocal, and it'll spit out one or two harmonies depending on what I want it to do. I can make a fuller sound with just a little bit of technology.
So you're a one-man band in the production studio. You're a one-man band on stage.
I love teams, and my goal is to be booking way more, way, 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 way more band stuff. But you do what you have to do, and it has meant being alone to make some music sometimes.
And we love to have our guest artists, singer-songwriters, perform a live song. Tell us about the song you'd like to do today here in the studio live.
This one's called You and Me. I wanted to write a song that listed off famous couples. Gotta be lots of them. I started Googling. And after the third couple, I was like, who are these people? So I was like, okay, new plan. Okay, I still want it to be a list. And so I started listing off the things about life that I like or that are cool. It became, you and me are like these cool things. And I did leave one couple in there that you'll notice.
Well, let's hear live version, You and Me.
You and me go together like ham and cheese, go together like honey and bees, Cliff and Claire Huxtable. You're the cake to my birthday, you're the champagne in my OJ. Girl, can we stay together so wonderful? Please excuse my observations of you and me as a thing, as I express my fascination but this is no dream. You and me go together like P.B. and J. Go together like the sun and the day. A pair so beautiful. But if you ever left, our perfect thing would be messed up. And needless to say, that would be terrible. Please excuse this observation. You and me as a thing, as I express my fascination. This is no dream, and whatever may come, you can know it ain't hopeless. Gonna beat it like we're crossing it off a to-do list, 'cause we can't miss, we can do this. And we're super tight, so funky fresh, groovy and nice. I think with the bomb, all that in a bag of chips, we're swell and neat to the limit, so fly and so sweet. So you and so me, so when can I see you next? When can I see you next? When can I see you next?
Chris Hudgens, thank you for being on our show today. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Carrie Banks. The show was produced by Chuck Luck. Our guest today was singer-songwriter, producer, entrepreneur, Chris Hudgens. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, and if you would like to hear previous episodes, visit ttupublicmedia.org.